So let's open our Bibles, Psalm 45. I want to show something to us there, and then I'll just use that one to explain something about the issue of worship. You know, we started some time ago, we were talking about understanding praise and worship, thanksgiving and stuff like that, and we are still on that matter. I want to just bring out something there from Psalm 45 to explain a principle. It says, my heart overflows with a good thing. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Then he said, thou art fairer than the sons of men. That is, I'm addressing my verses to the king. Grace is poured upon thy lips. He said, therefore God has blessed thee forever. Now said other things. He said, guard thy sword on thy thigh, O most mighty, in thy splendor and thy majesty, and in thy majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. He said, let thy right hand teach thee awesome things. Then he continued to speak in verse 6. He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of joy above thy fellows. And he continued to speak and all of that. You see things like that going down to around verse 9. There's something else. I want to bring up something, all right? But there's another scripture I want to read. That's in Revelation chapter 4. There's something I want to bring from there, you see. If you read verse, this was John talking about what he saw in heaven. And he said in verse 9, chapter 4, and when the living creature gives glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. And we cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. Now there's a reason why I read this, and you'll see it in a moment. Some time ago, somebody said to me that one of the things he's learned, one of the most important things he has learned from me as a person, which really gladdened his heart, is that I explained why God created man. Sometimes people will tell me things I said, and I'll say, oh, you mean I said that? Praise God. I said that. Well, that must be true. Yeah, well, of course, it wasn't too... When I heard it, I said, okay, yes, I said that. But I didn't realize it was such a deep truth for somebody. And let me explain to you, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, why did God create man? I don't claim to know everything. In fact, nobody does. You know, as you keep living and you keep learning and you keep experiencing things in life, you keep learning. So this is just one aspect of what is true. Why did God create man? Now, if you see, for you to understand things that are in the heavens, all right, you will have to see things that are on the earth. All right, God expresses his thoughts, his ideas, things that are in the heavens through things that are happening on the earth. All right. So if you see the way things are, in fact, Maurice Cerullo will tell you all truths, all right, are parallel. So when you see something occurring on the earth, it gives you an idea of what is happening in the heavens. And if you're able to see something happening in the heavens, you will see those things begin to occur on the earth also. Now, so when you want to understand why God created man, you just look down at something that he did on the earth. And this is, I'll just be brief about it so I can get to the main thing I want to say. If you check something, at the time of creation, God did something. He created, from Genesis chapter 1, the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon something. You know the story, all right? And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he did all of that. Having done everything, at the conclusion of it, he now created man. He now said, now let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And then, after a while, now look at this closely. One man was created, the man Adam. And the man Adam was there. And then the Bible makes it clear that there was none that was found. Now, if you go and read that story, let's just look at it so that I will be putting it correctly. You see, so after he created that man, and every time I've had to preach at weddings, which I've done quite a bit, a number of times, this is what the message I preach all the time, although I lay my emphasis slightly differently. If you see in verse 25 of chapter 1, the Bible said God made the beast, just summarizing everything. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and all of that. And then verse 26, he now said, let us make man in our image. And after he made that man, you will see something in verse 18 of chapter 2. He said, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he will call them. Please notice this in case you have never noticed it. Or you have not read, shall I say yes? I discussed it inside the book, all right? You will see, he said, let us make a helper for this man that is suitable, all right, for him. Like literally, the word there in Hebrew is corresponding to him. Somebody that's just like him, all right? Now, before God decided to make Eve, the first thing he did was to prove that there was nothing like what he needed in existence. Now, notice that. He said, let us make a helper suitable for him. And I said in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And notice, verse 18, let's go back there so you can follow it. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Then in verse 19, he said, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. You know what that tells you? The first place that the helper was sought for Adam was simply amongst the beasts of the field and every bird of the sky. And God brought them to Adam to decide that which one of these ones fit you. And they both agreed, none. All right? All the story of the woman that gave us to me, Nabobo. It's not true. Because it was an agreement that of all these ones, nothing. You see the very next verse, the Bible says, and the man gave names to all the cattle. What did he do? What did he do? All right? And to the birds of the sky, and to every beast, he was the one giving them names. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. That is, in the process of giving names, they were checking whether there was one that was fitting. He saw the giraffe. Your neck is too long. Are you getting what I'm saying? Saw the hippopotamus. If you fall on me. Are you getting what I'm saying? They looked at the whole thing, and nothing was in order. And notice this. He was giving what? Names. He was giving names. He was describing their character. He was describing what they were good for. He was telling them what they could do and what they couldn't do. That's the meaning of the word, giving names, or the expression. Now, you now see the next one. So the Lord, now, is it, what's the word? What's our first word? What's the first word? What was the first word? So. That is, as a consequence of the giving of names, amongst which we found no helper suitable for him, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God formed into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. Before I read that one, notice in verse 20. No, sorry, in verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord brought every beast of the field and birds of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. In verse 22, and the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib he had taken from the man and did what? And did what?
Brought her.
The same thing. To him to see what he will call her. And this time around he answered, this is now, he gave this one a name, bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. Are you seeing that? Who gave her the name?
Adam.
The same way Adam named every other thing. God says, none of this one is your type. What am I saying? The reason why God created the woman was to bring somebody that was exactly the type of Adam that could be a helper for him. That's why the dog cannot be his helper. You understand my point? No matter how much the dog loves him, it's not his type. You get what I'm saying? Now, normally when I teach this at Bible at weddings, and I wrote it in that book, Should I Say Yes? What I emphasize on is the fact that he called her a name. And so whatever name he called any of the living creatures, that was its name. So when it came to the woman, whatever name he called her, that was her name. So I always instruct husbands, when you marry, whatever name you call your wife, that will be... You didn't catch that. That will be her name. So, you know, like I wrote in the book, I'm not talking about marriage now, all of you, don't wake up, but I'll give up to my message. So that's why, number one, find a very nice pet name for your wife. Apart from that, say things that are positive. Do you follow what I'm saying? Stop saying things that you women are so careless. That's whatever you call her, that will be her name. She'll become Mrs. Careless. Do you get my point? And the Bible says she's corresponding to you. You will soon catch it. So that's why I say be careful. All right? Don't anything you keep on repeating, she will conform to that image. If you keep on telling your wife she's very beautiful, she looks very nice, she will start dressing very well. She will start using very nice makeup, arrange it well. You understand my point? Everything will come in order. All right, so that's the only way I lay the emphasis when I'm talking at weddings. But today what I'm talking about is the fact that God created a woman for the man so that they could be alike and they could have, let me use the word, fellowship, relationship, because they would be of exactly the same type. Without going into details of how I arrived at this, although I'll say one of two things, you will see that was the same reason. This is a physical thing, but the spiritual parallel is this. When God wanted fellowship and companionship, are you getting what I'm saying? That was when he made the man. And you will see, he used to come in the cool of the evenings to have a chat with him. What he did not do with the angels. You never read it anywhere that they had that kind of relationship. Do you get my point? He looked at Angel Michael. It didn't work. I don't know what I get my point. He made his minister, those angels, all right? Spirits and flames of fire. They can do work. They are very, very effective. But as for sitting down in the cool and discussing matters, it does not work. Look at all the warrior angels. You know, I was listening to the Bible on CD, you know, the book of Revelations over the last few days. And, you know, some of the truths of this life, we don't want to hear it too. And I won't go there yet. There are all kinds of angels. There are some angels that you cannot distinguish between them and demons. They look alike. They do the same job. Well, maybe they don't look alike, but their effect not the same. And they should destroy. There are some spirits you are saying, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I'm not getting rebuked. Now, that Jesus sent me this assignment. I was listening to it. That is, some angels, terrible things. They will release their hands like this and destroy one quarter of the men that they see. Kill all of them. And they are not evil spirits. We're not talking about that now. There are all kinds of angels. Like I always say, in Egypt, the Bible said there was an angel of death. Whether it was a demon of death, I don't know. But what the Bible said is what? Angel of what? Yes. They kill people. If you go and read, when David sinned against God, when he looked up, what did he see? An angel with the sword drawn. That guy didn't come from hell, came from heaven. People, you know, always think as God only does nice, nice things. All these angels, they know how to just rub your back, belly. Child of God, don't do it again. No, just rub your back. No, some of them pour on your face. The Lord is good. Anyway, whatever it is, all kinds of angels exist. That's what I'm trying to say. There are some that sing very nice songs. Beautiful songs. The orchestra, all right, that they lead, powerful. The members of the team, powerful. Some know how to rearrange. Like Monica will say, when she was in Search and Rescue, that was touched by an angel. All right? Quickly put the rail back in place so that the train will not derail. Stuff like that. Some angels are very good. But amongst all of them, there was none found fitting for the Lord. Are you getting the principle? Therefore, he came and then created man in his image. After his likeness, he did not make any angel in his image and after his likeness. You have what I'm going to explain. So you see, that's one thing I understand. Why he created man. That's why he did it. And you see afterwards, he used to come in the cool of the evening to come and fellowship with that man. And what did they used to discuss? I just assume they used to gist about different kinds of things. how butterflies are beautiful. All right? Yes. And I'm going to talk to, because what I want to talk about today, the title of my short meditations, and then we'll use it to pray towards the end or next time, is Bonding with the Lord. What did I call it? Bonding with the Lord, all right? And anyway, another thing I should say before I talk about what they used to talk about, one of the ways you understand what I'm saying is true. You see, when the Bible would describe the church of God, it will call them the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand the point? And if you go and read Songs of Solomon, very beautiful book talking about a romantic relationship between a man and a woman. And that was a type of Jesus Christ and the church. You see things like that. And the Bible will tell you that, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is, because why he created Eve for the man is the same reason why he created mankind for himself. You are following the point I'm going to make here. Therefore, the relationship that men should have with God is the type that a woman should have with her husband. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, I'm talking about something today, and I said bonding with the Lord. So you see, you know, I say something that's my own personal experience. One of my students saw me the other day. It was very, very funny. He said, "How was your student? Graduated 2005. I said, okay. We talked, and I said that, how are you doing, sir? I said, "I'm fine." "Your children, how's the family?" I said, "They're fine." He said, "Do you still love your wife?" And I understood what he said. And I laughed. I said, "Yes, I have no choice." Because I didn't know, my gist had gone everywhere, that Dr. Krishna always talks about his wife. So the man saw me 7 years after leaving school, which makes it 9 years. So he looked at me and said, "Sir, how's your wife? You still love your wife, right?" I smiled. I said, "You can be sure. I have no choice." Well, the reason is that the guy is always going, that man always talking about his wife. One day somebody saw, he just heard somebody mention my wife's name. So the fellow ran to come and see who she is. Say, "Oh, so this is the woman this guy is always talking about." Now, I'm talking about bonding. Now, bonding. So I say jokingly, but truthfully, that I use any network that gives me free calls to my wife. When Glow was doing Glow Infinito, I didn't care what they charged anybody else or me calling anybody else. As long as they were charging that small 120 cover to call one special number, I simply put my wife on that one special number. Then if you tell me it's 50 naira a minute to every other person, I don't care. I say it all the time because that's the person I call most. So if you charge 100 naira a minute to every other person, it's still cheaper for me. Once that one is 1 naira a minute, because that's the person I call the most. And talking about bonding now, the way by which you bond with people, the way I understand it, is by talking with them. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's by talking and conversing. It's not by praying with them, really. You know, praying, people say that if you pray together, you stay together. It's good, though. You should pray together, amen? But I think you stay together more if you talk, you understand? Yes. I even know there are friends who hang out a lot. They don't pray together. They just drink together. They just eat together. I mean, they pray in church, but after service, everybody has disappeared. How many of you are well bonded with the prayer warriors in your team in church? Think about it. Are you getting my point? It's very good to pray together, but the real bonding, is in what? Talking, is in talking, is in talking, is in talking, is in the person you talk to the most, all right? And I want to encourage us now, because we're talking about praise the other day, and there's something I said when I was talking about praise. I said, praise, there are two sides of it I said. It's what you say to God and what you declare about him. Remember I said that. So it's not just what he hears, but what you say so that everybody hears, everybody else hears. And I gave an example that somebody, it's not just when you get into a mood of prayer, let us pray, let us pray. Now let us praise God, let us praise God. It's good, but there's a way it comes off the cuff, you know. It just comes out spontaneously. They say, "Man, we are dead in this country." You say, "Why?" Because, you know, things are so expensive now. And without you fighting about it, let me go and pray about it. Just simply utter, "No, we are not dead. Those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good." God is the provider, not the state of the economy. Very calmly, very nicely, there's no discussion. It takes you 15 seconds to conclude that statement, and then you go on. But that's the praise of God you have declared. But there's another side of it, that's what I want to emphasize today. There are times you sit down and say, now I want to talk to the Lord. And you should do that often. Most of the time we pray, most of the time we want to talk to God. It's about our problems. And I want to discourage us from that today. Is it most of the time people talk to God, it's their problem. That is, they want to discuss the problems. And there's another thing. I said that before. I just want to emphasize it. When we now say want to praise God, it's more like, let's warm up to discuss the problem. Yes. You know, sometimes, you know, like, I tell you, I organize, for all of you come here, that's where we are, Kingdom World Ministries. I learned long ago from Kenneth Hagin that you should know the focus of each meeting, all right? And that's why we normally just do praying, just briefly, we pray, and then we go straight into the teaching, because that is why we come most of the time, all right? Now, some people think it's a bit out of order to just start teaching until you have finished, or that we start teaching without doing a long praying, long clapping and singing and worshiping God. And I say, why is it out of order? Maybe simply because you think that is the order. You have to get away into his presence. I learned long ago that it's not necessary. If you want to praise God, it is good to praise God. Please, I'm not taking anything away from it. But if you want to study, if you want to gather to teach, nobody says you cannot teach without praising first. Are you getting the point I'm make? I have noticed that thing. In fact, I don't know any church I've ever been to, and every program goes the same way. There's prayer at the beginning. If it's a lot of our churches, like this man's church there, then they do small worship, you know what we call worship. Then we'll do fast praise. Then we'll do a longer, slow worship. And then we share one or two testimonies. And then, and you know, I've always wondered that every program is exactly the same. What is this one? Is healing service the same way? Prayer service the same way? Teaching service the same way? You go through everything, every time. That's what Christians, human beings just find it hard to break away from that mold. I learned it long ago when I was in university. When I was in university, we learned it long ago. We stopped doing all. In fact, we learned some things then. We organized a program. If we say it's a drama outreach, not be drama. We pray our prayer before the program. The man invited didn't come to pray. You know what he came to do? To watch. And I remember one program we had hired main auditorium, one before we did in the church auditorium, then this one hired University of Benin main auditorium. Someone just grabbed microphone. Hey, you're all welcome. We are all welcome. Welcome. Today you are going to, and that's it. Next thing is that they clear the stage. You see the people who are doing their dramas. At the end of the day, somebody gets up, makes an altar call. And believe me, it used to work. And when I started organizing programs, you go somewhere, we got let us pray. We pray 10 minutes. In fact, many times I've told people here that, listen, focus your prayer on the meeting for the day. You know, if it's a teaching meeting, like we do on Saturdays, focus the prayer around the meeting for the day. 10 minutes after, let me have the mic. I start teaching. We didn't gather to praise God here, did we? Let's not deceive ourselves. What did we do to gather to do? We came to learn. It's a teaching service. And I maintain that all the time. Now, I'm not trying to make an issue. That it's not right for us to use praise to warm up towards what we want to do. You know, just by the way, I'll get to my main thing. You know, I chat here and there. Once I was in a program, I went for a meeting, like a leader's meeting. Big men, you know, leaders. So they said, the main man was not yet around. They said, what do we do? I said, okay, somebody now gave me, said, maybe let's just start praying. Let's start praying. Or, Pastor Banky, what will you do now? Give me the microphone. I collected. I said, praise the Lord. I said, the main guy is not yet around, so let us sit down. When he gathers, when he comes, we'll regather. What? I said, yes. Well, who do you want to deceive? We came for a meeting with somebody. He hasn't come, so I should start preaching. No, it's different when we say it openly. Like, guys, we have 15 minutes to waste, so what do we do? Okay, somebody, let's share something now. You know, we know. But not like, praise the Lord, as we're gathered today, the move of God is going to be powerful. Praise God. And you say, where is he? Has he reached 90 miles? And you're just wasting people's time. I was an MC for one program, you know, when I was in Lagos, all right? It was a Christian program, big program. Students organized it with the doctors and all of that. So I was one of the MCs. So that's it. What's the next thing on the program they told me? Where are they? They said they're not yet ready. So what should we do? They said maybe we should be singing. I said, all right, give me the mic. Praise the Lord. The next issue is the drama. But the drama people are not ready. So all of you, please sit down. We'll wait for them for the next 5 minutes. When they are ready, we'll continue. People look at me like, what? I said, look, you people, I don't think it's fair on God to tell him you are praising him. Are you getting what I'm saying? And tell people they are praising God because you just want to waste while away the time. So I said, look, sit down there. The drama people are not ready. People looked at me like, this guy is strange. I said, yes. If you have something else to do, let's do it. But prayer and praise, no, I don't accept. And I've been in meetings where I sense it, that that's what they are doing. The man of God is not ready. So they just keep on, oh, hey, Abraham, I just carry my Bible, everything, just walk away outside and go and wait there. When people are ready, I'll come back inside. Or I sit down on my seat there. You can't move from that seat. I'm serious. Because I know what you are trying to do, and I don't think it is right. Just by the way, you know, I say many things. Just by the way. That's why, those are the ones we used to do drama when we were in school and all of that. If we are doing a program and it's drama session, we're the ones organizing it. If you serve food, we walk off the stage. That was my rule. Say, listen, this drama is for 15 minutes. It is, you cannot be eating. After I have rehearsed and rehearsed, you will now be eating while I'm acting. You're not serious. So my friend Chooks and I, we said, no, we used to tell whoever is in charge, listen, how many minutes for the drama presentation? You tell us. You don't serve food that time. If you want to serve food, we are not doing. There is a time for everything. The time to work, the time to act. The Lord is good. Now, these are just by the way things. Let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. So, a lot of times when we want to pray, we use these prayers and stuff, you know, to warm up towards the real matter. I don't think it is right. Let's get back to bonding with the Lord. Talking to God, all right, in itself, it's a prayer matter. I mean, like, it's an appointment. Let me put it like that. It's a prayer. And it does not always have to be about your problem. It doesn't always have to be. And I really don't think he likes it like that. And that's why we read from that Psalm 45. When he said, my heart overflows with a good thing. For that reason, I address my verses to the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. And then I began to say things to the king. And that's how God is also. You know, that's why we read from that Psalm, also from the book of Revelations. You see, the elders will say things to God. Are you getting my point? Thou art this. Thou art that. In fact, there's another translation. If you use the, if I read the New American Standard Translation, the way Psalm 91 is, I normally like quoting the King James, but let me read the New American Standard, Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 2, King James says, I will say of the Lord. New American said, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Are you getting my point? That is, it is not just about committing the day unto the Lord in the morning when you are praying. There are times you just take out time and say, let me tell God a few things. This is what you are to me. Are you getting my point? You know, sometimes people tell you that the quickest way to a man's heart is what? Through his stomach. That's only if you married a man with a food problem. I've been married now almost 13 years. And I can assure you of one thing. Food is not the closest thing. And I have many friends who are both married or planning to marry. You understand my point? And food, the quickest way to their heart is not their stomach. If that was the case, everybody would have married the woman who runs the buka. Do you get my point? I mean, there are some nice eating joints you go. Do you care who the proprietress or proprietor who runs the business? What do you concern you? You work your food and you move. Let me tell you now, ladies, let me tell you the truth. You know, we say many things, all right? We still get our point across, all right? Ladies, guys, I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking about you. If there's a man beside you, tell him he's talking about you. If a man talk to man, just say he's talking about you, tell him. He's talking about you. This is about you, all right? In that sense, you're talking about yourself too. Yes, I know. So ladies, listen to this. The quickest, clearest, most effective way to a man's heart is his ears. Are you getting my point? It is what? His ears. That is the quickest, clearest, most shortcut way to his heart. In fact, let's even look at it like this. For those of you who know a bit of biology, all right? Everything connects through the brain, you know? The heart is not in your chest, you understand? The physical heart is in your chest, but the spiritual heart is not in your chest. It's a spiritual matter, all right? And the connection physically to it is the brain, okay? Let's try and gauge the distance. Between the stomach and the brain, can you see how long the nerve that's connecting it is? The ear. In fact, it's shorter than the eye, than in distance. The ear is right there. The deep, if you go inside there, well, there's this particular bone that winds like snail. It's just right there, under. You shoot a few nerves right inside the brain. That is why as a woman, one thing you must not do is nag. You hear what I said? Nag. You grind the man with talk. I've been telling this the seventh time I'm telling you this thing. After a while, all the man is hearing is like a bee or mosquito. You know what is going on? I'm really, remember our relationship, all right, with God is like that between a man, all right, and his wife. Yes. The shortest, clearest, openest, is that a proper, is that a word like that? Is the ears. There are many things my wife has given me over the last, we knew each other for about a year and a few months before we got married. Between then and now, she has given me many, many things. But one thing I keep referring to, which I hardly am able to forget, is a book by Rick Joyner, The Final Quest, she bought for me on the first birthday after we got married. Was it the first? Yes. Well, in December, my birthday is in April. On it, she wrote on it, to my husband, teacher, and mentor. I've not forgotten that. I don't chop all kinds of food. Food come, food go. You understand my point? After all, food come, Jesus said, then it goes the other way, into somewhere else. The Lord is good. But the words that they plant inside your ears, ladies, listen. You want a man to love you? Forget your makeup and your fine dress. Forget that one. Talk to him in a manner that shows that you value his opinion and you think he's wise, he's sensible, he's strong. Tell him. I'm telling you, these guys are looking like they don't know what I'm talking about. That's what they are looking for. When women come and meet me and say, who should I listen? If there are 15 men chasing you, first, there's a way to eliminate them. You know, there's a spiritual principle of elimination. You know that? Yes. When they wanted to choose a replacement for Judas, they used that principle. All right? Anybody that has not been with us from the beginning, out. If you were not there during the crucifixion, out. Where were you? Out. When they finished eliminating, only two people remain. So this is one very neat, easy way to eliminate people. You say, hey, Pastor, there are five of them. I don't know which one. Listen, it is because you don't understand certain principles here. Let me give one to you. And this is how it happened. A friend of mine had that issue also, a young woman. I told a story in my book, Should I Say Yes? Three guys were on her case. I talked about two of them in the book. And the one she loved the most was the one that if you're selling him for 5 kobo, I wouldn't buy. He loved the guy. At the end of the day, I said to her simply, can you trust this guy to lead you in life? Give you direction, he goes in front and you follow him. She's head banking. He's like this. If he says, close your eyes, give me your hand, I want to take you somewhere. He said, I will close one eye like this, open the other one like this. This was exactly how she did her eye daddy for me. I said, okay. And we are still talking about it. I said, listen straight. Don't marry him. This one is not, you know, I normally don't like giving advice like that. This one was blunt. I said, don't try it. Don't even try. I don't care how much you love him. That love is mistaken. That love is blind. That is, and I don't mean love is blind in a good way. I mean, this is stupid love. Love that won't lead you anywhere. It won't help you. And to marry a man that you can't trust. Any man you think doesn't have sense is not your husband. Are you getting my point? That is, if your opinion of him is that, don't mind him, there he goes again, carrying his hair like a sugomu. That's if that's your thought towards him, forget the guy. Forget him sharp, sharp. Now, let me get back. No, you know, I like to drop things by the way. And guys, stop pursuing women that are not excited to hear your voice. It's not the will of God. You want to hear it? Let me say it again. It is not the will of God. If the sound of your voice does not, you know, when Mary talked, the child kicked in the stomach of Elizabeth. If her stomach does not kick at the sound of your voice, the Bible says, if you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. So let me explain the point I'm making. So that's how it is. I'm talking about praise. That's why I brought that issue up. All right? Look. Oh God, I just can't leave this matter. You see, let me just sit down there. You know, all those people that will be telling you they use witchcraft to snatch a woman's husband. I told that this most of those witchcraft is behavior matter. You understand my point? Yes. You know, it's not. There's nobody in any coven. There are very few people that know the direction of the coven. Most human beings are afraid to go out at night. It's true now. I know what I'm telling you. What is it? Yeah, coven. Covens are hard to find. Waka enter bush for night. You go trek, and a snake go bite you. You won't see one coven. You get what I'm saying? Most human beings are afraid to go out at night, including the ones you think they are witches. So forget that. Those girls, they are not witches. I say, they go to Dibia. Listen, the Dibias, the Babalawos, they know the trick. But with the trick, they give you small chalk. You think the chalk is working. It's not the chalk that is working. It's the trick. There's one story when we were young then. We read from books. They said that, I remember the title of it, that it is the patient person that milks the lion. It's a Yoruba book. But I remember the story. One woman and her husband were already having issues. So the nurse said they wanted to do hot jazz for her. She went to one Babalawo. So this medicine we want to do, once we do it, your husband will love you. He will come back home. He will be the wife that he married that time all over again. Ah, the woman said, thank God though. They said, but there's a problem. What is the problem? The medicine needs one crucial ingredient. What is it? The milk of a lioness. So where did they sell it? They don't sell it. You have to go and milk a lioness. You have to go and milk the lioness. Let's make a long story short. One day the woman reappeared having milked a lioness and gave the jasmine the thing. So the man said, how did you get it? Ah, he said, Baba, it wasn't easy, but it was easy. What I did was that I made, describe one kind of concoction she made that had honey, meat, all those kind of things in it. And I went into the bush, located where one lioness that had cubs, all right, used to rest. And then one afternoon, I tossed one small one for it. He ate it. And then I moved closer. Let's make a long story short. I was very patient too. There was no hurry. Because if the lioness vexed, now they whack you. So, you know, the woman described the whole process. And gently, while the lioness was licking the thing I made for it, and then I just gently stretched my hand down, just quickly milked her a bit while the cubs were sucking on the side, and then sneaked away. He said, you have the patience to handle the lioness. Go back home, use that same patience with your husband, and you will see what we are talking about. You see what I'm saying? Yes, it was not the jazz, you know? There was no juju. It was what? The trick. Let's get back to the girls who snatch other people's husbands. It is not, there's nothing, there's no. There is, listen to me, there's no jazz in it. How do they do it? Check it. The man has been married for 18 years, 20 years. When he goes home, welcome. Junior was crying that they drove him away from school. You know, yesterday you did not repair the tire of my car. When I was going out today, the tire just burst on the road. By the way, the roof of the house is still leaking. Wait, landlord called yesterday. But when he goes to the Okpeke's house, "Ah, chief, have you come? Please sit down. How was your day? Should I help you remove your jacket?" You need to be a man of God not to go back there. You have to be a man of God. That is, you have to be confessing, "I have made a covenant with my eyes." How much? You'll be confessing. There's no complaint. "Will you eat?" "Hey, chief, you're losing weight. Oh, sit down. There's one space." "Yeah, chief, sit down. You go and bring food next." He said, "How was work today?" "You. They were arguing with you in the office. Chief, if, big man like you, if I were you, I would sack them. Chief, how can anybody talk to you like that?" The man is feeling like, you know, like King David. Yes. He doesn't say anything about it, though. Anytime he has spare time, instead of going home, he go branch. "Angela, how are you?" "Chief, there's no problem. Is there anything you will need?" "Yes, sir." "You know, last time I was going out, you know." "Is it a car?" "No problem, no problem, no problem. Take this my own, be driving first. I will take Okada, whether Sullivan bans it or not." Why? Because somebody spoke sound words. Words are very powerful. Go and read the scriptures. He said, "Like cold water is to a weary soul, so is good news." That is words. Are you getting my point? Words, very, very important. In summary, the openest way, please, pardon that my English, the clearest way, the most effective way for the heart of a man, not be the stomach, is not the stomach at all. Trust me, I'm a man, I've been married for a while, and I know these guys, they're all the same. It's only when they are still starving, you know, when they are in university, that's when food affects them. Once before, settle down. Food no they work. What works, believe me, number one, is the way you talk to a man. Sometimes I see ladies, you know, that, just by the way, "Hey, I'm stuck on this marriage matter. But we'll just continue talking." Ah, God. Sometimes I see a woman talking to her. "Excuse me. Hey, my body go cash cold. You're talking to your husband. I beg, excuse me." Jesus Christ. And you want to be blessed. Okay, you're on your own. There are things you don't do. What annoys me most, when I see young women, where they pay me for their body. Maybe they meet the guy. Assume now, he's Pastor Banky, and he's single. Thank God I'm married, alright? But assume Pastor Banky is single. "Ah, good afternoon, sir. Yesterday we were such a blessing, sir." Toast the girl first. Toast them first. Once relationship starts, "Oh boy, how now? Alpha, what did your judge like? You poke the guy recklessly." This was a man who yesterday, when he was still, you understand my point, it was still respect. "Good afternoon, sir." And you don't understand. After I finished writing that book, "Should I say yes?" I was analyzing that issue when he said that Sarah called her husband Lord. After writing the book was when the final understanding of what she said got to me one day. I was discussing with my wife that what in the book I tried to describe the proper words to use that corresponds with Lord. Do you know the words today? Is sir. I was thinking about it. Finally, it hit me. Now, when I enter into my office, as an example now, I walk in. As I'm walking down the corridor, "Good afternoon, sir. You're welcome, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. I have a message for you, sir." Everybody running up and down, you know, because I'm the head of the department. So everybody is there. "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." The Bible said when Sarah came in too, she got to her husband's office and said, "My chief, good afternoon, sir." It was so striking, they wrote it down. It was so striking. But what do we do these days? Once nakedness enter, oh, party. Wait, I never see. Claire, my friend. Don't be for your office, they tell you, sir. For here, oh, boy, we are one. The Bible says the two shall become one flesh. They misquote scripture recklessly. There was one true story. that happened in somewhere in Western Nigeria. Those the kingdoms, those Yoruba kingdoms of those days. I think the Alaafin of Oyo. Yes, was Alaafin. One day, one of his wives was giving him a bath. And he was not a big guy. He was a smallish fellow, you know. So, but it was, the king, you know, Oba. You know, they had, those of you from here, you don't understand what they call traditional ruler. Go to the West, you'll understand. You don't greet him by a bow. You stretch fully on the ground. The name Kabiesi is short for Kabiosi. That is, there is no questioning you. They call him Igbakeji Orisha. That is the next in command to the gods. No, it's not a joke. No, if you grew up in Igbo land, you don't know what they call traditional ruler. Because one man is rich, they make him Igwe of an autonomous community. So you don't understand. Come there, you know what they call traditional ruler. That this MK Obiola, with all his wealth, will get into the palace, he has to go on the floor. So this woman, anyway, and these were the days when they were the ones really in power. So he was basing the king. He said, oh, God, so this is the whole of you. The man said, what did you say? He said, everybody will just fear you. They will just fear you. They will just fear you. Not be you, be this. The man said, wait, what are you talking about? He said, you be fast like this. My husband. Now, the whole of you be this now. Everybody goes to fear. Why do they fear you like that, sir? The man said, He got up, dressed up, called his head, the commander of the brigade of guards, that he should go and bring her father's head. True story. Called this guy, said, go to my wife's father's house, behead him, put the head on a plate, and come and give the daughter. Then she will understand why everybody fears me. The woman was running her skelter. The guys went there, brought the man out, caught his head, put it on a bag, and gave it to the girl. This is why everybody fears him. That his size, don't be deceived. It is where the word of the king is. That's where power is. The Lord is good. So bonding with the Lord has turned to something else today now. We'll finish our message. No, really. That's the mistake I see a lot of women now make. The honor and respect they had for the man before, it disappears once intimacy enters this now husband and wife matter. No, it's not right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I went into all of that trying to explain the issue of words in the ears of a man. And don't forget, the relationship we have with God is what we are talking about. That's what we are talking about. And so what do we do when we come to pray? It's not just about uttering all our complaints. Let me get back to that. There are times we just settle down, and all you do is just tell God what he is to you. First, what he is generally, and then what he is to you. And believe me, he wants to hear it. Whether he needs it or not is besides the point. And in fact, this is one thing I'm sure of. It magnifies him in your eyes. I want to talk about magnifying God in your eyes and then in your mind, in your heart. It's not just about, sometimes not even a conscious thing. It's how everything diminishes, all right, in the light of him that we are talking about. That you wake up in the morning and you bow your head and say, Lord, I want to thank you because you are so good. You are my provider. You are my keeper. You are my helper. You are the one that died and rose again that I might be saved. My life is in your hands. Without you, I can do nothing. Your spirit dwells inside me, and that's the reason why I can do anything at all. You are just talking and talking. You finish saying that for a few minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, whatever, because sometimes an unction comes upon you and you can't leave the place, you continue saying it. Then you leave the place, you come outside. As an example, a car, you cross the road without looking, and the car almost knocks you down. You just look at the car and say, oh, sorry. But in your mind, you say, no, I am preserved by the power of my God. I don't know, you get my point? Then you come and you take newspaper and say, ah, did you hear? Some people, their vehicle fell into the river, or a flood came at night in Russia and drowned 170 people overnight. Yeah, hey, now wow, it was a man, didn't it? Some man could just drown, no. For you, it would happen. It will not know, because you just said it in the morning. You understand? That your life is in his hands. You spoke it to God. You know, listen, there's something about intimacy, you know. God doesn't always, Christian said that when you talk like that, God will talk back to you. Maybe he does, all right? Maybe he does, all right? But the scripture didn't promise that he will. But one thing is sure, his spirit flows into you. That one I'm certain of. His confidence flows into you. It does. That one I'm sure of. It does. Suddenly you find out that you're not afraid. Even though you should be afraid. That's what the Bible calls the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know what it means of all understanding? It doesn't make sense even if you don't understand it. Are you getting my point? That is, it's not only even you don't understand, why am I not worried? I remember the story I heard from one preacher, I think it was Kenneth Hagin, that was telling the story of one woman during the Second World War. They were looking for her, they thought she had died at home. When they saw her on the streets, they said, we don't see you in the bomb shelter, and when the siren goes off, bomb raids. He said, I read my Bible one day. They said, he that keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumber. So I said, why should two of us keep awake? So if that siren goes off at night, I'm sorry, I don't wake up at night. Why? Because the Lord is awake. So the time I'm supposed to sleep, why struggle with him to keep awake? That is not you don't do such things deliberately. Make up your mind. No, I will not wake up. I will not. When siren blow hard in your ears, oh boy, you go wake up. It's when peace grabs your soul, you understand, and sends you off to sleep. You know, just to illustrate, you know, just to make you laugh a bit. You know, at home, you know, if you're a man, a woman, you have a home, you have children and all that, you don't generally sleep through the night. You know, you get up, you just check on the kids, you know, stuff like that. So I noticed something, that if my wife and I are at home, she never gets up to check on anybody. If I hear buru, 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 rain, thunder, light for night, I will wake up like this. Let me go and check. I will just turn and continue sleeping. And I used to wonder, what is wrong with you? Won't you even go and check? Then later on, I found out what really happens. If I'm not at home, she gets up. She wakes up. She goes to peep. But once she looks at it, my boy is there. I'm like, let me continue sleeping. And when I get up, it's proof. And it's an unconscious thing, not a deliberate thing. Well, if I do get up, it's proof that I don't have to get up. Come on, they have to. What is it? How you just sleep through and through like that? You know, even they check anything. What she's saying, in fact, is that why should I check anything? You're not there checking everything. No, you can check for two of us. Are you getting my point? What I want to emphasize from that is that I realize that it's not a conscious thing, it's unconscious. Somebody else is taking charge of it. You get my point? Somebody else is taking charge of it. So when the Spirit of God enters, that's what it does. I said, look, listen, Christianity is not methods. Six principles of staying at peace. Put off the light. Say it five times, I'm at peace, I'm at peace, I'm at peace. That's yoga. Amen? That's not Christianity. No, that is not Christianity. Christianity, you just discover that you are asleep. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. The sleep will just sleep you. You understand what I'm saying? You will just sleep. You will just sleep. And that's what I try to teach to people. It's not just about methods. Like, give this 2 naira, then it will become 20 naira. Then you give the 20 naira, it will become 400 naira. Then when you give 400 naira, you want it to become 40,000. Then when you give 40,000, you're a millionaire. Now, the person doing it has not been converted into a giver. Are you getting my point? So everything is an effort. That's not Christianity. No. The Spirit has not yet entered that fellow. It hasn't. Like I was saying on Saturday, what we do, we just imbibe the word of God and that word transforms us. That's what I was going to say. Now, back to what I'm saying. So you see, it's not every time we just sit down and say, okay, I want to pray. So let us praise God now so that we can continue and ask him for what we want. Let us praise him now so that today will be a good day. There's no so that in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no so that in it. The praise, like we read here, he said, my heart overflows with a good thing. It's what you have been thinking of that overflows in from your heart. Are you getting my point? It's not just about trying to do something so as to get something. It's what you have been meditating upon. That's why, listen, there's no way you can live the Christian life without feeding on the word of God. No, there's no way. Listen, there's no way. Let's talk about this praise matter. My heart overflows. Do you know something? What it means for something to overflow is because something has been poured into it until the thing is overflowing. The only thing that makes your heart overflow into songs for God is that his word, all right, has been entering into your heart. There is no way you will understand what God is or who he is except you have been taught his word. There's no other way. First, the word comes, and then experiences in life drills them into you. That's the way it works. You go and see, God called Abraham. That was the word. But for him to fully understand what was being spoken about, experiences in life drummed them into him. That's why if anything he goes through something, he will come out of there and build an altar. You know what it means to build an altar? It's to express that part of God that he's just discovered. Are you following what I'm going to explain? My heart overflows with a good thing. So you've heard the word of God, you wake up in the morning. It's not just, in fact, you can take a whole week. I'm not even asking God for anything. Let me just tell him what he is to me. That's why I laid that emphasis. That's why I was speaking. That, look, you tell a man, now, back to husband-wife relationship now. You tell your husband that he's a good man. You know what happens? He becomes good as steel. That word is my word. Amen? You know, I invent words once in a while. In fact, something happened. This might make you laugh. Now, God doesn't react like this, but it's just it's what they call, Pastor Chris used to call anthropopathism. So let's use it to explain God. You know, human beings, just use it. But God is not exactly like this, just that something close to it. There's a class of students, I just concluded their lectures yesterday. And they used to, I needed a lot of patience to handle them. So I used to be quite harsh. I had a rule, if I get to the class before you, don't enter. That rule was based on the fact that I had to drive some distance to get to class. Their hostel is just behind the class. So I said, why should I get to class before you? Do you understand? I'll come to class. On time. Come on. Then if I give you an assignment, it's university. I teach fourth year, all right? Medical students. If I give you an assignment and you don't do it, I walk you out of the class because it's a small class, relatively small, about 40 students. So where's my assignment? If you haven't done it, go back to your hostel and go and finish my assignment. That's how I do it. I was quite tough. Let's make long story short. I finished my lectures yesterday. So I told them that, look, you won't see me again until the day of your oral exams. So the class captain got up to speak before I left. And the guy said, first he wanted to thank me. I teach there part-time. That's not my main university. He wanted to thank me on behalf of his classmates, for taking time out to give them all these lectures. And that he noticed, speaking for everybody now, that I really want them to understand. That I work hard to make sure that they get the point, they understand the subject. That the only problem is that sometimes I don't realize that the gap between me and them is quite wide, so I'm kind of impatient with them. I told him that that is not true. I told him I agree with the impatience side, but it's not because of the gap. It's because you don't, like now, getting to class on time, what is the gap between you and me in that one? You know, stuff like that. You know? So he went on and on, and he said things that would make you laugh. He said, "Oga, and the way you dress, sir, is an inspiration." The man was talking and talking. He got to a point. I said, "Wait, last captain, for this amount of healing," I said, "please, I hereby schedule revision classes." I said, I hereby schedule revision classes. In fact, we are going to revise this whole subject before the exam. I said, how can you just heal me like this and I'll just leave this class like that? That's not good. Now, I'm trying to make an issue. Now, it may sound like, okay, praise God to your head, but that's not the issue. But the thing that really hit me there was that I said, these guys are really interested in learning and they appreciate the fact that somebody is trying to teach them. I said, I told the guy straight. First captain, he said, yes, sir. Revision classes are hereby scheduled. And of course, immediately they started clapping. They were very, very happy because of that. But the point I'm making is that I was surprised, actually, all right? Before I tell you the point I was making, I was actually surprised. I thought some of them, like, this guy is just too hard. Leave him. What is it? Thank God the lectures are over. No, the response I got was a surprise to me. And that instantly changed my disposition. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? All right. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. All right? Let's get back to dealing with the Lord now, bonding with the Lord. I was talking about that. You see, God doesn't move. Did I hear an amen? It doesn't shift. If you are reconciled to God, you are the one that came back. He didn't go anywhere. He did not change his mind. You are the one that moved, all right? And then you have moved back from where you were. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, in the same manner, if you are talking to the Lord, it draws you closer to him, but it doesn't draw him closer to you, really. You are the one that's shifting closer. The more you speak those things to him, all right, the more his spirit flows. You know, you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explain in the book that great faith is an impartation of the spirit. It's not a determination of the heart of a man. No. It's an impartation of the spirit. So you see, the more you commune with God like that, the more his spirit flows into you and strengthens you into great faith, if necessary. You get my point? Listen, just like God, a man doesn't like whining. God too doesn't like people who whine. Murmurers, you know what happened? They perish in the wilderness. Having problems is not an issue. Murmuring about it, the Lord doesn't like it. Because if you want to talk about problems, those Israelites had problems. Look, listen, carry your wife, your children, all the property you have. You go into the wilderness for a full day's journey, no food, no water. You don't think that's a problem? It is a problem. If ordinary armed robber shoot busa behind your house, you know, say you get a problem. How much more when a whole the Egyptian army, they are following up and you can see the dust being raised by the hooves of their horses behind you. And in front, you can't go anywhere. Is that not a problem? But despite all of this, they murmured, they died. Despite all of this, they murmured and they died. We know it's a problem, but God is saying problems is no justification for murmuring. Ken Hagin said something which I think every Christian should hear. He said when he had the vision of the Lord and he prayed and told God that he didn't want his wife to die because he had this feeling that she was going to die. And the Lord confirmed that she indeed was going to die. And so when he prayed, he had been praying for her. And that day the Lord just said, tell your wife to be operated upon. She will live and she will not die. And because of Jesus, the Lord said to him that the only reason why she's not going to die is because you asked me. Not because she repented or something, or I changed my mind about anything. Just because you asked. And he said to him that, I've forgotten the words he used, but that there are so many great things he would like to do for his children if only they will ask. But this is where I'm going. But they don't ask, they only complain. They don't ask in faith. What do? They complain. They come murmuring. And this is how you know you are murmuring. Lord, this is the 50th year I've been believing you. This is the 50th year. In that process, Amaka has done this. In that process, Emeka has done this. During that time, that is called what? Murmuring. When you start pointing, this person has done this. Am I not your child? Arise, O Lord, and let your enemy be scattered. Care. You know? That is murmuring. That is murmuring. That is one common murmur. And listen to me, it will destroy somebody. It will destroy the person that engages in it. But let me not even sit on how to pray. I make requests now, but just to drop it. If you want something, ask about it and relax there. In due season, it will come. You hear what I said? I said what? In due season. Let me just leave that one there. But what am I emphasizing on? It's in talking to the Lord. It's not always about our problems, what we want, what the issues are. Sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, all right, it should be more often than not. It should just be, yes, let me take time out and just start telling God what he is to me. Let me just start telling him what he is to me, what I understand him to be. No, you know, good big English is good, though. Jehovah Shekinah. But I think that's actually a joke. You don't speak Hebrew. Yeah, really, you don't speak Hebrew.
What is seeking? If I came and told you, Jehovah Shushu Gamuchi, you wouldn't know what it means. You wouldn't know Shushu Gamuchi is the name of a bacterium or something like that. And we'll go home and be worshiping God in the name of Jehovah Shushu Gamuchi. They wouldn't know that the pastor who said he was drunk when he said it. Say things that don't have meaning to you. No, that's not what we're talking about. Listen, if you say things that don't have meaning, even though you are quoting the scriptures, he doesn't hear it. God that dwells in light unapproachable, he said, do you know the light that can be approached? It's a scriptural quote, but let's be honest. Do you know the light that can be approached? Have you ever seen light that cannot be approached? You don't know the difference. It's better to say that God that can dwell in the midst of the burning fire. That one is better because you've seen fire before. And you know no human being can dwell inside there. Forget big words. It's to just say simple things. Father, I worship you. You are the reason why I was not killed at the embassy when everybody was killed at the embassy. Do you know that's a very powerful quotation? Yes. My confidence is in you, oh God. Yesterday when they said, who do you know? Lord, remember I laughed. He said, you are God, my laughter. You know the word Isaac? What is it? Laughter. When everybody was saying, last time the doctor said that this will happen, that will happen to me. You know, I smiled at him. He didn't know why I was smiling. Because as he was talking, the thoughts that were coming through my mind were himself took my infirmities and my diseases. And by his stripes, I have been healed. Lord, I thank you because indeed you are my reason for smiling. All this big English you quote in prayer is a waste of your time and God's time. Please, I hope you heard what I'm saying. Listen, it is the truth I have told you. Go and recite all those powerful words that you heard CDJ say on television. You are getting what I'm saying? It's a waste of time. Why? It's not drawing you closer to God because it has no meaning to you. It doesn't have any meaning. Listen, this is how you will bond with the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I said by reading that scripture. It said, my heart overflows with a good thing. For that reason, what do? I address my verses to the king. I address my words to the Lord. Are you getting my point? Yes, there are times we go out and declare his goodness. But there are times we just turn to him and say, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. You know, yesterday night, I was listening to Phil Driscoll. And that man is a specialist in leading that kind of song. I mean, if you listen to Phil Driscoll, he will help you. That's where songs are good. I know I was telling you, use your devices. There are different kinds. Some people say that they are listening to Christian music. Some of the music, I don't know what they are saying. All my enemies don't die. Praise God. This songs are magnifying the death of the enemies. I don't know. It's not. They are not good songs. They are not good songs. All right? You have songs that talk. Do you understand? Songs that you can sing and you are addressing your verses to the king. Are you getting my point? That's one important part of prayer. I believe, you know, like, don't forget what we say. We come here to do what? To learn to pray. We learn how to pray. We form new habits. We form new habits. It's good to commit your days unto the Lord, but there are times you wake up in the morning, forget the day for once. Just remember the Lord alone that day. Do you understand my point? Let me say it again. No? These are the proper things to do, not because of what we are going to get. There were men who were being beheaded for the gospel's sake, and the last thing they did was to worship God for his good and his mercies endure forever. Are you getting my point? Yes. I'm not teaching you a method of how to... How long have you been asking God for that job? Are you praising him yet? You never praise him. Now be the thing now. Give him like 2 minutes of praise. That won't go work. If you want a bigger job, make the praise like 2 hours. If you want a stupendous, crazy job, a full day. That is not the point. We are talking about deeply appreciating God because that was why you were created. Remember how we started? Why did God create man? It is the same reason why he created the woman for Adam. And that's why he created the man for himself. Mankind, every one of us. That's why God created us for himself. The Bible says that, I like the way King James says, they say we're created for his pleasure. Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure, and for thy pleasure they are. How does it go again? Anyway, for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. You understand? And that's very important. That is the reason why God made you. And I believe very strongly. In fact, in Christ Jesus, one of the things he's doing, all right, is to build us up to the point where we really appreciate him. One thing Benihin said once, he came to Benin to teach in Archbishop Idahosa's church. So all of us left school that time and went to go and listen to Benihin. You know, these days, I don't know what young men go to go and look. If they hear say Ronaldo, come down now. Even Christians will go there. It's a sign of backsliding. No, men are backsliding. I mean, they are backsliding. Really. Ronaldo comes to town. What's my business? Anyway, that day, Benihin came to Nigeria. And my father. It was great. He and Archbishop Idahosa went around, did some crusades. Anyway, he was coming to teach in Benin, in the church on Sunday. All of us left school, of course, and ran down to Church of God Mission to go and see Benihin. Oh, my father. It was like, that is just this Benihin. Praise God, Lord. Thank you. No, we made sure we got beautiful seats so we could see Benihin. And that he ministered in an Agbada. You know, they wore him Nigerian Agbada. Anyway, one of the things he said is that this is how it is, that you see, we're referring to Revelations, that those elders and those living creatures, they will shout, holy, holy, holy. So what used to happen is that every time they see another aspect of God, they will have no choice but to declare holy. Then God will reveal to them another aspect of himself, and then they will open their mouths again and shout what? Holy. And let me challenge you again. Anytime you discover one part of God, also lift up your head, open your mouth and shout what? Holy. Very important. It's not just the words. You know, you answer my point? It's that thing behind it that caused you to open your mouth to shout. That is what is really resounding. But very importantly, you must respond. You get my point? You must respond. When you hear it, maybe you come for Bible study or buy a book, you get a tape, and suddenly you understand something about God, maybe concerning your life. You get back home and you kneel down and shout what? Holy. Listen, that is when the Bible says God is fearful in praises. It is not because he is not changing. You are finally opening the door and allowing him to manifest himself. I hope you've gotten my point today. I hope you've gotten my point. My time is really gone. Well, not too bad. It's not so bad. All right, the Lord is good? The Lord is good. Can we just bow down? Let us rise to our feet, all right? We are closing now in the next few minutes. The Lord is good. But just for a minute or two, can we just bow down our heads? Let's just begin to speak to the Lord. Say, just call him by the name you know you should hear from your mouth. You are the one that preserves my life. Lord, I acknowledge you. Simple things. You are my provider. You are my healer. You are my strength. You are my defender. You are my protection. In the times of trouble, you are the one that watches over me. My life is in you. Without you, I can do nothing. You are the strength for me to walk into destiny. You are the destiny of my life. You are the one that prepared me, formed this body for me, so that I can do your purpose. You are the one that owns me. You are the one I serve. You are my king. You are my Lord. You are my master. You are the one I fear. You are the one I love to please. You are the one that made me for your pleasure. You are the one that created the purpose for my life. Just speak to him. You are the one that holds my days. You are the one that holds my life. Lord, I acknowledge you as my God. I acknowledge you as my King. Jesus, I thank you for coming to die for me. I say you came to die for me and I appreciate it. You are the one I'm looking up to. My eyes are fixed on you. I'm being made into your very image. Let's just use words and speak to the Lord. And these are the kind of words you wake up in the morning and you will declare. Say, Lord, you are holy. There is none like you. There is none like you. Amongst all the gods, there is none like you. You are the one that controls the events of this earth. You rule in the affairs of mankind. You change seasons. You know, sometimes people will be talking about political issues. Who is going to become what? Who is not going to become what? People are strategizing. Anytime they are saying, we had a discussion like that in my office today. I said, they should forget, God is still in charge. Say, Lord, you are the one that's in charge. Lord, you are the master. You are the father. You are the ruler. You are the president. You are everything. You are the judge. And we worship you. And Lord, we worship you. And Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Surely goodness and mercies will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.